2 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to begin a series of messages tonight on the subject of practicing patience. When I told Pat yesterday what I was going to be preaching on, she said, "You're what?"
Let's hurry up and get it done.
Take your time.
And so, I read this story one time in some church paper. It takes two wings for an eagle to fly. If an eagle were to try to fly with just one wing, he would only spin around in circles on the ground. And the writer went on to say the same is true with many people who are trying to soar spiritually on just their faith. Whereas we're told in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning to read it, verse 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God, our Savior and Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things, plural things, be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. And so it is that a person who tries to live the Christian faith with just their faith is going to have a struggle. Because there are other characteristics that we've just read in 2 Peter chapter 1. And when we look in the book of Galatians at the fruit of the Spirit, we see listed again many virtues, many qualities that God says we need to have in our lives. Now, if you'll notice in 2 Peter chapter 1, when we have that list in verse 5, 6, and 7, there are three named: virtue, knowledge, temperance, and then patience. Then there are three others: godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. So patience is in the middle. Now, I don't want to make a big deal out of it being in the middle, but that to me shows it has a key point, a key part. And one of the things that I'll mention later is that patience is pivotal. Now, all of these are necessary. Okay? It isn't a matter, well, I'll have faith and patience and then the others, you know. No, they're all needed. They're all necessary. Augustine, who was one of the early church leaders. He is quoted as saying, patience is the companion of wisdom. And Peter Marshall, he was the chaplain for the U.S. Senate back in the 40s, and quite influential Christian leader in his day. He is quoted as saying, teach us, O Lord, the disciplines of patience. For to wait is often harder than to work. And so it is, we would really much rather be doing than just waiting. You've heard this before, and that is, being a Christian is just as important and in some ways more important than doing as a Christian. Now, I hesitate to say it's more important without that clarifying statement, because that would seem to infer the other things aren't important, and that certainly isn't true. But what God is interested in us is being like Jesus. If it was just a matter of doing things, well, lots of people do things, but it's being like Christ. Now, we are familiar with the need for patience. I don't think any of us would deny it. I think we're familiar with the importance of patience. And certainly we would agree on the spiritual place of patience. Let me read from three passages. They're familiar if you want to turn to them. The first one is James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3. I'll read it, and if I start reading before you actually find it, James chapter 1, verse 2 and 3, so familiar. James writes, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. Now, for the sake of the children that are here, divers there means various. We have another English word comes from the same root words, and that's diverse. Okay? Diverse meaning varied. And that's what divers means. It's not, has nothing to do with swimming. And just the context would let us know that. But he says, my brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So we ought not, just thought of this, we ought not be impatient about the testing of our faith, because that testing is going to lead to patience. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 11. Paul writes here this first letter to his co-worker, Timothy, in chapter 6, verse 11. He says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things, things that he had just named, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Now, he has other important things listed there, but my series is on patience. That's why we lift it out of the list. That's not to say it's more important than all of the others, but how many years would it take me to preach on all of them? So we'll just take patience, and we're going to have to wait on the others. And then Hebrews, in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. Excuse me, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. beginning in about the middle of the verse where it says, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Running the race means living life, okay? It likens living the Christian life to a man who's running in a race. Of course, what do you run for? For the purpose of winning. But in our day of worshiping exercise, you know, a person wouldn't have to win. All they'd have to do is run. And everybody's a winner because they just participated. So a little sarcasm there about the exercise gurus. But let us run with patience. So it qualifies how to run. It qualifies how to live. And in this particular case, again, the qualification is with patience. We know we ought to be patient. We even desire to be patient. And we pray for patience, but we struggle with impatience. Now, I mean, some of you ought to really take up poker playing for an occupation because you're keeping a real straight face. And then others of you, I'm with you, I understand. We're on the same page, okay? But Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, it lists in the fruit of the Spirit, and it says long-suffering. Now, if you study patience and long-sufferings, you'll find that they're cousins. They're very similar, but there is a distinction between them. Trying to break it down to something I could understand, long-suffering carries the idea of long endurance, enduring something ongoingly, bearing an injury. If you're long suffering, you bear injuries for a long period without retaliation. You see, a person who's long suffering wants to retaliate. A person who's long suffering wants to get at who's ever caused them to have to be long-suffering. Well, they're not really long-suffering then. I'm not sure what that would be, but it wouldn't be long-suffering. Patience is a quality of enduring. Enduring evils, here's the key, without murmuring. So a person who's patient not only endures long and doesn't want to retaliate, but they do it without murmuring, without complaining. They have a calm composure. That's the thing that amazes me with people who are patient. The calm composure. They're without agitation. Okay? That's the thing that would describe my impatience, and that's agitation. The achievement of patience comes as a result of the Holy Spirit's control, the Holy Spirit's influence, the Holy Spirit's work in our lives. When I said we're going to talk about, and it's going to be for several weeks, we're going to be talking about practicing patience. I'm not getting so much into the theology of it, okay, as I am in how do we practice patience. Now, here I have a question to ask. What makes you impatient? I thought about this, and I thought of three primary areas. Now, I'm sure there can be others, but three primary areas that can cause impatience. The first one is ourself. What we do or what we don't do. Be impatient with myself about what I didn't do, okay? Or when go ahead and do something that I know I shouldn't have done, I'm impatient with myself because I did it. that'd be the lesser number of things, okay? Unless you really, really, really have a bad, bad, bad problem with self-esteem, it's probably your lesser area also, okay? Now, there may be some that that's not true of, but most of us, the next area is going to be the biggest one. Others. Other people. Not ourselves, but other people. What they do. Or sometimes what they don't do. Okay? So, what I mean by what they do? Driving down the road, and the guy puts a blinker on. Okay, you got the blinker on. There's nothing over there in that other lane. There's nothing on the berm. There's nothing coming in front of you. There's nothing behind us. Why don't you just get over on the berm and make your turn? I recognize that laugh. Impatience. Something somebody else did. Or things that they don't do. I remember this from when the kids were younger and at home. How many times do I have to tell you to do that? Why didn't you do it? Okay? Something that somebody else didn't do. Now, you know, different people have different things. I can't be in you. I mean, I'd like to use some of your illustrations. If you want to come up and tell me some of these things, I'll gladly. I wouldn't even have to tell your name, you know? When your kid's head's spinning, look. But anyway, so self can be a source of impatience, and others can be a source of impatience, and a big area, probably equal to others, is circumstances. Yeah. Things that happen over which we have little or maybe no control, and thereby we can be impatient. So, you know we ought to be patient, we desire to be patient, we even pray for patience, but we struggle with impatience. Now, I speak on this subject as one who is seeking patience with you. I'm saying, let's together consider this matter of patience. Are these things that I have coming, are these things that could help us to be patient? So I'm not standing up here, and I'm not going to use the, everybody's heard it 2,500 times. When I'm pointing one finger, I got three fingers coming back at me. Yeah, tricky. That really convinces me. But I'm not up here speaking. You know, if it helps you any, I'll come sit down there and talk loud enough that, you know, and have the mic on. And, you know, in other words, I'm not trying to say, this is what I've done. I absolutely know it works. Now, let me edit that. I'm not saying this is what I do all the time, and therefore, I know it always works. There are things that I'm going to be teaching about practicing patience that I know work, because when, focus word, when I've used them, they've worked. Without patience, life is extremely frustrating. And those of you who are more, by your personality, more prone to be patient, whatever temperament and so on, that it is, that you're not as impatient, that's not an area you struggle with. We could go down the fruit of the Spirit, we could look at the others in 2 Peter chapter 1, and I know we'd find one that would fit you. You'd have to be one, because nobody's perfect, okay? And so... But there are some people that do not struggle with patience as much as other people do. And so, but without patience, life is frustrating. And a person is easily, I was going to say can be, but I changed it to is. A person is easily annoyed, bothered, or irritated, or all of them? Huh? We're not about to place a bet here in this game, so you know, you don't have to try and sit there and pretend. Now, admitting it, impatience, and lamenting it,
yes, sir,
will not change it. If there is a commendation to be given for admitting it and lamenting it, because I have met people who won't admit to their weaknesses. But there's the secret. It's to dealing with impatience, and that is to change it. That's the only way to deal with impatience, to change it. And there must be, in order for that to happen, there must be a genuine desire to change and a genuine effort exerted to change. A real desire, not just a verbal, but an in the heart desire to change and an actual effort exerted. And I'm going to be sharing some effort ideas in these messages. Becoming more patient involves opening our inner being, our heart and mind, to the present moment, even if we don't like it. You see, overcoming impatience, becoming patient, is not something that you'll wake up with one morning. Wouldn't that be great? The alarm goes off and you wake up and just somehow you know, I'm patient. And I'm not going to have that struggle anymore. Yeah, it would be wonderful, but it doesn't work that way. The series of messages is on practicing patience. Patient actions. And practicing patience, and I'm going to end with this for tonight. Practicing patience will happen at a point of impatience. At the point of impatience, the very beginning point of impatience, becoming patient happens when the Holy Spirit reminds us we are being impatient, or we are about to be impatient. Now, you know, we're just talking a second or two of time. And it's then that we must determine to not be impatient. In that first second or two, when something's happening, something's taking place, the Holy Spirit will remind us that we're about to be impatient. And you only have a second or two. What you've got to do is determine to yield to the Spirit, because the Spirit's the one speaking, and you must yield to the Spirit to not be impatient. And that's when all of the praying, weeks, months, maybe years of praying about being patient, when that second or two, when the Holy Spirit says you're about to be impatient, that's when you have to yield to the Holy Spirit.
That's good.
And being patient takes effort. It's much easier to lose your temper. That is to give up the control of your temper. It's easier to blow up, rant, or rave. You may recall me mentioning this illustration before. I'm out at the workbench and I'm working on something and I pick up a tool to use and I fumble that tool and it falls on the floor and I bend down and I pick the tool up and then I come up and hit the back of my head on the workbench. And that, of course, causes me to fumble the tool again and grab it again. Mm-hmm. Now, in that scenario, I've got a second or two.
Yes, sir.
When I'm ready to react in my old nature, when I'm ready to react in a way that is so easy. But the Holy Spirit, when I may even start to react, and it's Holy Spirit, and I'm afraid all too often we react full well knowing what we're doing. For once the Holy Spirit has pricked the heart, too many times it's easier to give in to our impulses than it is to give in to the Holy Spirit. And there's times where we would rather react the way that we're familiar with. And God Almighty, help us.
Yes.
If there are ever times that the Holy Spirit is quenched, it would be that would be one of them.
Yes, sir.
You know, 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. You know, I've gone through this. I might be sitting at my desk. I pick up a pencil. I drop the pencil. It rolls to the floor. I bend over to pick it up on the floor. I can't bend over too far. Well, I won't say why. I bend over and I pick it up. Frustration. And just about the time I'm ready, just to feel. Spirit of God does something to remind me.
Amen.
And it can vary what he'll do to remind me. And in that second or two, I've got to just stop and respond without that frustration. Respond without that anger, that upset. That's yielding to the Holy Spirit. And that is getting answer to prayer. Why doesn't God answer my prayer for patience? He does every second or two that he reminds you of something.
That's good.
Okay. Now, I have more to say, but we're going to stop with that. And we're going to go to, I guess I got more to say with several messages. but we're going to go. And this is the way I want to look at the matter of patience. There'll be scripture references I'm going to be making. I'm not doing it, even as a traditional Bible study, as much as I am on how we put the Bible verses into